Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, you seen any lost souls wandering around lately? And I don't mean in flesh, I mean in spirit. Well, maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Sometimes we're shocked by them when they show up, or we get really clear images and messages from them in our dreams. There's so many ways that there are other souls in other dimensions that want to talk with us, that need us, all kinds of interesting interactions with some of these are lost souls, and some just want recognition. But to help us understand all of this soul stuff, which I think we should all understand a lot better, is the author of a book called Soul Whisperer, Releasing Lost Souls. And we're speaking with our guest, Annette Rugolo. Annette, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be here.
I'm so glad that we could talk, because this is so much of your work is dealing with spirits, souls. What do we want to call them? How do we define them?
Oh, I call them lost souls. Basically, they're souls stuck in our dimension that haven't moved on. So trapped souls, that's another good word for them. They're trapped.
Right.
And they need our help to be released.
Why are they trapped?
Different reasons. So what I work with a lot are groups of souls. I've been working with a lot of Native American souls, for instance, over the years, that have gotten, they had an experience, an event that happened. And the fear, the anger, the shock, the grief, some kind of, a lot of times it's emotional trauma. And so every time a soul dies, there's always an opportunity to leave. But all of this emotional energy that's created in an experience, it creates a fog, an energetic fog around them, and they can't see the portal. They can't see where they need to go. And all of that energy, it's a lower vibrational energy. It's, again, it's like an energetic fog, and it keeps them stuck. So when I see it, depending on how intense the emotions were, it sometimes it looks like a blanket, and you can't even see the souls that are stuck until you clear away the emotional energy.
Wow. So that means a lot of tragedies really create lost souls who are just surprised and maybe kicked out of their bodies and in very unhappy ways, unfortunate ways that confuse them, and they lose their way.
Yes, exactly. One of a recent experience I just had, I live in Minneapolis, and I was called up 2 hours north to Moose Lake, Minnesota. And on the way up, before I go to a place, I always read the history. So it turns out the history of this place, they had a huge fire in 1918 that killed 238 people. And it started in one town. It affected three towns up there, three small towns. It started in one town, and it was in October, I believe. It was dry, and it just spread like wildfire, killed 238 people.
Wow.
So when I went up there, it's like I knew part of why I was being called up there was to release these spirits. Mm-hmm. And the person who I do dowsing, I heal environments. So the person who called me up there, turned out her grandfather was 7 years old at the time of the fire and escaped with his father and his brother. So now there's an energetic connection of, you know, it's so interesting. It's like why we move where we move. And she was trying to sell her house, so she couldn't sell it. Well, one of the reasons she couldn't sell it is she needed to help these souls first. She was called there to do that.
So she intuitively or instinctually was drawn to this house because she needed to be part of this clearing.
Right. I believe that on a soul level, we're called to different areas, to different places, to heal the land. And I always tell people, it's like everywhere we move, we are called to leave things better than we found it. Yeah. So there's some spirits or some energy healing or land healing, whatever it is, this is, I think, part of our purpose for all of us.
And a lot of people don't understand how we know what we know, where this information comes from, because a lot of people don't understand how intuition works and that you're receiving information directly from the spirit.
One of the classes I teach, it's a visualization meditation class that actually teaches people how to consciously connect. So we have a conscious connection to the universe, and a lot of people, it's like they sense it, they feel it, but they don't always know how to consciously connect. So I teach people how to do that.
Yeah, good. And our brains actually think in a multidimensional space. We don't realize where our thoughts come from. We don't plan our thoughts, we just have them. And oh my gosh, every moment is the next thought that comes through that we haven't planned, but somehow it feels like it's the right words for us to say.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I always tell people, it's like, where is it coming from? So we have a lower body, a lower mental body, where our lower thoughts come from. I call it the concrete mind. That part of us sees things in black and white. Then we have an abstract mind that sees possibilities and solutions. And that's the mind we need to connect with, to connect in with the universal energy, to connect in with messages or inspirations. So a lot of people are just connected there. They're not consciously connected there, but they are. Right. And that's where those things are coming from. If it's coming from our lower mind, it's, kind of closes us up, or we go into fear or judgment or worry or things like that.
Those of us who understand this higher mind and know how to use it, it's a natural for us. We don't question it. And then it turns out that there are amazing things that come through. I had an experience years ago where two relatives, a mother and daughter, were killed in a car crash. And they were cousins. And I was at their house for several days afterwards. Every day we were in great grief. But the spirits were there. And I knew, that I was the only one who actually had any identification of them. And I had a few relatives come with me to another special part of the house that I said, let me connect with them. Would you like to be with me to do that? And these relatives said yes. And so here I am talking to these spirits who had just recently popped out of their bodies and were also in grief, just like we were. And I started to ask them questions, and they responded. And then one of my relatives who was sitting there witnessing this said, I don't believe any of this. How do I know you're actually talking to any spirits? And I said, well, I can't prove it to you unless you have some way that I can show you. And she said, yes, I just spoke to, it was her aunt, that she spoke to recently on the phone. So she said, if my aunt is in this room with us, then she should be able to tell you what our conversation was about. And I said, okay. And I asked and I explained what our conversation was about. And the woman said, that's exactly what we said. And I don't know how she was able to ground that in herself, because she was a disbeliever to begin with. But and then I told these two who had died. They said, I know you need to be around us and you need to be here grieving with us. So why don't you just stay as long as you want? And just know that when you're done, you can just rise to a higher frequency. And they said, okay. And then I got a call a couple months later from a neighbor of theirs who asked me how they're doing. And I said, I don't know, it's been a couple months. And I said, let me ask. And I inquired in the universe and I was told that the mother was ready to move upstairs or wherever you want to call it. And the daughter wants her to wait another week. Okay. And the mother's willing to wait another week. And he said, you know why? I said, no. He said, well, because her high school is having a memorial service for her in a week from now. And she wanted to be here.
She wanted to be there.
Right. And I just thought that was so perfect. So sometimes they there are ways that they're not really trapped. They just need to process.
Right. So there's something that I call attachments that also keep spirit stuck. So sometimes a spirit, when they die, they're so attached to some place or somebody, they're not willing to let go. So it's called an energetic cord or an attachment. So when there's always a doorway, or I call it a portal, that opens up when somebody dies, but they might see it and not go through it. So that they miss their window of opportunity. So they could be attached to somebody or someplace. Like they can't move on because they feel responsible for taking care of somebody. That would be an attachment. The other side of it is the attachment can be created by somebody here in the body that doesn't want to let them go.
Right.
So the emotional grief is so huge. It's like they hang on and they do not let that spirit go. So that's the other piece that keeps some of these spirits stuck.
There are a lot of people, healers, for instance, who claim that anything that's wrong with anybody is an entity, is an attachment. I don't buy into that. I know that we do have attachments that can interfere with us at times. They're not all just hanging on silently or quietly. But what is that? You know, I guess we don't know until somebody can look at our field and see that there's some entity there.
Well, one of the stories in the book is about my husband. So I ended up having a clairvoyant dream where I saw two spirits stuck in this house and they couldn't get out. So that was when I was first learning about this, and I have a teacher where I learned a lot of this from. So it's like, I didn't know if they were attached to me or to him. I knew it was one of us. And she said, no, it's attached to him. And it turned out that two spirits, a man and a wife, they were brutally murdered in Siberia 500 years ago. And this is one of these attachments where the daughter was so in grief, she didn't let the spirits of her parents leave. So then they attached to her. And when spirits attach, they are passed down from generation to generation until somebody sees them and releases them.
Wow.
So when my husband's father died back in the 80s, my husband didn't understand this, but he got a message about a week or two later after his dad died. And in the dream, his dad told him, I'm sorry, son, I couldn't do it. It's up to you. And Tony had no idea what that meant. Like, okay, there's a message, but what does it mean? So years later, 25, 30 years later, we meet. I have the clairvoyant dream. Turns out our teacher is coming to town the next day. I tell her about the dream. She sees the spirits and knew how to release them. So they were attached for 500 years in the lineage of this family until somebody saw him and released him.
Wow. That's a real story that a lot of people haven't heard before, that this can carry on for so long.
Yeah. And that blew me away, like, really. And so there's so many things that really inspired me to get into this work. And that was one of them. So it was really before I stepped into what I'm doing in a bigger way. But it's like, oh my gosh, who's, and you know, are we walking around with spirits, and who is? But it, what it did for the people that were carrying the spirits, it created a depression, because it was that energy of sadness, of grief. So any spirit that's holding that energy and is attached to us, it vibrates in our field and we take it on.
Right. So it really has harmed all the people in the generations since.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
But does it, if it comes down through the progeny, it spreads out. There's many children, and then they have many children, and do each of those get this, or is it just one is chosen?
One is chosen. So so like a soul, when they're looking at the souls, it's the one that has the greatest possibility of finding somebody to help them. So my husband's one of 10 children. So his father, once he left, he probably saw something on a soul level or vibrational level and thought Tony was the one that had the best chance of meeting somebody to help.
Right, because that's understood in the universe.
We didn't see it.
That we're here for, the soul programs that we're here for.
Yeah, yeah. So it only affected one person in every generation. So it didn't affect them. But on another level, it did affect, because there's this ripple effect, because my husband grew up with a father who suffered from depression. So that's going to affect the entire family. Right. So whoever was carrying these souls, you know, that affected many, many people. They weren't carrying it, but the energy of grief affected the depression.
Right. So we need to tune in. And only some people know how to tune in and find these souls and help them, either talk to them or... I remember many years ago when I didn't know how to tune in. And it turned out that every time my wife would go out of town, my bed would shake.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
I didn't know. Yeah, I thought, well, I live on the ground floor. I thought maybe the furnace in the building... apartment building is under my bed and rattles at night, but it never occurred to me. It only happened when my wife was away. And then finally I traveled down to Georgia to visit a dying friend down there. And while I was there, the bed shook again. And that's when I really took notice, because it traveled with me, this spirit. And so I was lying in bed, and in a strange bed, in a strange house, and it was the bottom of the bed that was being shaken, and I said, okay, I felt that the next that was going to happen was my pillow was going to be shaken, and sure enough it did. And so I sat up and I said, what do you want? What can I do for you? But I didn't know what I didn't know at that point any of what I know now about how to work with spirits or even hear from them or talk with them. And so I came back to New York, and I called a friend who was a very advanced soul worker, and she came and helped the spirit move on. And then the bed never shook again.
And I think we all, the ones of us that are, like I would say, called, or, you know, are here to do this work, those kinds of things happen, and there's always some advanced teacher or somebody that shows us how to do this. Or,
well, you know, the person shaking my bed knew that at some point I would be able to help.
Yes, yeah. And it's so, I call this spirit communication. And it's so important. there are so many people I've talked to since I've written the book that know how to communicate with spirits, but if they see him in the house, it's basically, get out of here, leave me alone, move on. And they do, if they're not stuck in that house. Some spirits are just stuck to the house because there's an attachment. But so the spirit, or they're quiet. I was talking to one woman. She lived in a house for 23 years, and the first couple of years she had spirits. So she heard them. They heard the footsteps, doors opening, all of that kind of stuff. And she basically told the spirits, okay, you can stay here, but I don't want you making any noise. Just be quiet. And they were quiet.
Oh, nice.
20 years they were quiet. The day she's moving out of the house, they started making noise again. it was such a funny story. It's like, yep, they listened to her. So we can communicate with spirits. They hear us.
Right.
But I see them as, you know, they let us know that they're there because they need help. They're asking for, you know, some help. As long as they're stuck in this dimension, wherever they are, that soul piece cannot evolve. It's stuck.
Now you say soul piece. What does that mean?
So this is where I talk about oversouls. So we have a huge soul. And my understanding, the way I see it, is that we have a soul piece that goes into an incarnation.
We are each soul pieces.
Pardon?
Begin with, we are only a piece of our oversoul.
Right. Right. Even in this incarnation.
Right.
And so what we're doing is calling all of our soul pieces back into a field of oneness. So when I started doing this work, it was really interesting. I had a dream, a clairvoyant dream, where I saw one of my soul pieces. So I'm having this dream. It's a clairvoyant dream. I'm seeing this house out in, felt like New England area. And it's a brick house, looked very colonial. I'm with my husband in that lifetime, who is my husband now. Somebody comes to the front door, and I knew I had karma with this person. I saw who she was in this lifetime, but she was a man in that lifetime. She came to the front door, and my husband opened it, and she shot him. And I knew she had killed our son. There was a knowing. So I'm observing all of this. So then I'm running to the back of the house. This person finds me and I'm dead. So we're both dead. And I'm watching my soul leave my body. And I'm seeing it just move around this house looking in the windows. And it's like, oh, I have a ghost or a soul piece out in New England area that had this shock of a death. And I was just around this house looking in the windows trying to get back in. And I didn't know how to get back in.
So does this mean that lifetime, that soul piece, that lifetime got stuck, mm-hmm. yet you could still be born into a new life because it doesn't stop your oversoul from creating new soul pieces?
Right. Correct.
We just want to collect all of us as much as we can.
So what I see is we have this amazing oversoul and we incarnate into a lifetime. And when we've come in, some people it's like a school, whatever you want to call it, but we have lessons, we have dharma, we come in to be in service. And if we get stuck, so if we complete a lifetime and we've done what we've felt like we've needed to do, we leave and go back into the oversoul. But then at some point, there's pieces that don't go back. And those are it's called soul retrieval. They get stuck mm-hmm. in these experiences. So
interesting.
One of the things I did after I saw that dream, it's like, I knew where it was. I can connect with it. I was aware of it. I went, opened up a portal, and it released. I released that spirit from that experience.
Great.
So I did my own soul retrieval work.
You're inspiring me to inquire for other people if they have any of their past lifetimes stuck anywhere. And it'll be interesting to see what information I receive from that question in the universe. So we're getting near the end of the show. It's so much fun to talk with you, and there's so much more that you can talk about. Maybe at some point we can do another show.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, this is a huge subject.
And we can talk about, talk about children who remember past lives. Also, how children are treated by adults when they do see these lost souls, and how that might hurt the children or help the children depends on the adults. But it's good for future reference for another time. So you are Annette Rugolo, R-U-G-O-L-O, Rugolo.
Rugolo, yes.
And your book is Soul Whisperer, Releasing Lost Souls. And is there a website?
Yes, it's AnnetteRugolo.com.
Oh, good. That's easy.
Yeah, very easy. So there's a lot of, I do a lot more than just the books, but I do soul sessions. So if there is, I've been working a lot with people that are, there's a lot of people becoming aware of spirits in their house, attached to them or attached to somebody in their family. So I'm doing a lot of work around that right now.
That's wonderful.
It's very fun, and I love it.
Great, yes, and it's so enjoyable talking with you, Annette.
Oh, wonderful talking with you, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.